Hello, good evening, everybody. On behalf of Haus der Kultur in der Welt and the Böll Stiftung, I want to warmly welcome you at Haus der Kultur in der Welt. I want to warmly welcome Giselle Tanaka, who is sharing will be sharing this conversation. It's an experiment. It's my first time I do this kind of conversation mediated by our conference software, but it's the third time for Haus der Kultur in der Welt. We have done it with Gaza, we have done it with Istanbul, and now with Rio de Janeiro. I hope everything is working fine. Giselle is actually in the Heinrich Böll Stiftung, and in a second we will say hello to her, because she's just been distracted by somebody talking to her in the office. Hello, Giselle.
I'm sorry.
Hello, Giselle. We open
them. It's because we're having the game really soon, and most people are going home to watch the game. So, I'm sorry.
No problem at all. So here it's the same. We are on the countdown for the game. We have a big auditorium where a lot of Brazilian people would watch the game. So are you going to watch the game as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes, with friends and family.
Good. So I'm Silvia Fehrmann, Head of Communication. I would like to ask you to introduce you first, so we know whom we are talking to.
Yes, hi, I'm Giselle. I'm from the Committee for People's World Cup in Rio de Janeiro. We have committees in all 12 host cities for the World Cup. And I was also representative of Rio in the National Coalition for People's World Cup.
So what's the national...
I'm also urban planner. I'm also urban planner, and along with many people in the committee, we question what's going on in our cities.
So how is the organization? How big is the committee? How many states, cities of Berlin are represented?
We have the committees in the 12 cities. They are all state capitals, and in each city we have a different coalition organized. Here in Rio, we have around 15 people that participate in our weekly meetings, and these people, they each represent an organization. So they represent social movements, organizations for human rights, football fans, and people who are threatened or forced eviction. And most cities, we have different organizations, because for instance, in Belo Horizonte, they have a very big organization of street vendors that lost their access to the stadiums and some local strategies and differentiate the coalitions in each city.
So what we agreed on with Giselle Tanaka is, I'm training my Portuguese pronunciation of Giselle, but you will hear that I'm not a Portuguese speaking person, I speak Spanish, so my Argentinian Spanish appears every time I try to pretend to speak Brazilian. What we agreed with Giselle was to summarize the protests, the unrest, the situation, and to give you an update on the situation right now in Brazil. And to start with, Giselle has suggested a short web video produced precisely by the Articulação Nacional da Copa. And this is the video we're going to watch now, because it gives you a very good impression of the starting points of these protests. Please, the video. So, the World Cup for who is the question we are raising today, and what we are seeing in this video are maybe the first victims of a process. And I would like to ask you, Giselle, how is the impact of forced evictions in Rio de Janeiro, where you work, and how has been the experience of struggling, of bearing resistance against this process.
Yes, here in Rio, the evictions related to mega events started a few years earlier in 2005 for the preparation for the Pan American Games. And since then, two communities were threatened of evictions. And one of them, Vila Autódromo, resisted with a coalition of housing, social movements, and other communities that got together with them and showed that the eviction was not necessary for the games. But then in 2009, when Brazil won the bid for the World Cup, the threats of evictions came again, and to even more communities. So since 2010, these groups have been getting together to try to stop new evictions. And in 2010, we had many evictions happening, and they were all related to the World Cup games. Some of these evictions, we showed now that they were not necessary because some of the land is still empty after so many years, and the World Cup is happening this year, and we saw that they didn't need the land. So we work in two ways. One of them, trying to show which evictions are not necessary, that they are using the events to take the poor out of areas of the city that are being that have real estate interests, that they want to bring more tourists and richer people to live there. And the other thing is we also try to work with the communities to help them with the strategies, a local strategies to stop the eviction.
So what's the methodology of those evictions? Because one could imagine, okay, there is the need to make a new road, and then there is a decision taking, and maybe people are consulted. And so what are the steps that a eviction entails?
Yeah, the first thing is that we don't get to see the project ever. They say that everything is going on with transparency, that all the projects are shown, but we see big, colorful pictures, but the pictures don't show in detail what exactly they're going to do there. So they don't do this because they don't want us to question, because if we see that a road has 12 meters or 15 meters, we can show an alternative where it could go through. But they don't show the details, so we don't question. And not even when it is asked by judicial processes. The other thing is that they don't tell the communities that they're going to be evicted till very shortly before they have to move. That is also a strategy, so they don't get organized, and so they don't get public lawyers to defend them. And it all happens very quickly. We have communities that were evicted in less than 2 weeks before, and that time, meaning when they get the first notice, the time the community is completely evicted. So it's a very short time, and they come to the police and come already saying it with the machine in front of the houses, saying if you don't accept our offer, you will have to leave anyway.
So first, it's without prior consultation or prior information, then on short notice, so a very violent process. I'm rephrasing because we had a little sound problem. It could happen that people start going online now before the game in Rio and that the network quality yes. starts to be problematic. That's why we hope the sound goes on well. So how has been, if we have this methodology of non-participatory means on one side, how has been the methodology, your work with those communities and initiatives trying to bear resistance?
Well, the first thing is we work to help to give them the information, and we try to get, and most times not even university, because I worked also with university to help communities to have access to information. Not even universities, not even authorities get access to these information, but we try to translate the maps and try to see exactly which communities are impacted. And then we work with them to try to put their plan in the paper and to, with this plan, try to talk, try to open a public debate about what really is the best for that part of the city. One community we worked a lot is Vila Autódromo. We worked with the plan and we had the opportunity to take the plan to the local mayor. And that showed that the project they have for the area does not necessarily have to evict that community.
And how is this situation now with Vila Autódromo? This project has been awarded a very important international award by the Alfred Herrhausen Gesellschaft. So what's the situation now with Vila Autódromo?
The situation is that the city hall is still working with many lies and is not telling the people what's really going to happen to them. And they really started the eviction in May this year. They built a new housing apartment, but the apartments are not good and are not what the people want. And mostly, the people don't have to leave their houses. And we got an agreement with the mayor in October last year, and he said even to the media that whoever wanted to stay in the community would be able to stay, even if they have to open some roads. So we tried to make this new plan with the new roads and count how many families could really stay there. But the mayor continues saying, not showing the plan, not showing the urbanization project, and they go every day to the communities. The public servants, they go to the communities and keep saying to the people there that they have to leave. So people are still very insecure, and many are accepting the offer to leave because they don't know whether the mayor is lying or not, because he says something to public and in the community his officials say something different. So we have a very divided community. Half of the community has already accepted to leave, and half is fighting to stay, but in a very insecure situation. Because last week, they heard from a person from the mayor's office saying that by August, nobody's going to stay there.
Mm-hmm. So all over Brazil, over 170,000 people have been attained by forced evictions. These urban changes are one of the reasons for the unrest, but as far as one can see from Germany, it's also the rising cost of living and the problems with the quality of public services. If that's the case, how is the situation developing in terms of public services? Keeping in mind that the World Cup in Brazil has cost over 8.5 billion euros, the third, three times more than the World Cup in Germany has cost.
Yes, exactly. We've had since June last year many people going to the streets and questioning that. And the thing is that we have a lack of many public services. And one of the most problematic are health, education, and public transportation. And always, since they announced the World Cup, the government said there would be big investments in public transportation. But we see there has been a change in priorities. Here in Rio, we had a plan that showed that the northeast of the city was the one that most needed public transportation. But when they decided for the investment for the World Cup, they are not investing in that area. They are investing in other parts of the city, in rich parts that don't need public transportation that much. So people started questioning how much they are investing in World Cup and who will benefit. And also questioning all these companies that come here, we have a combination of interests. from local companies, the local construction companies that want to drag these investments to the areas of their interest, of rich people, of real estate interest. And we have also the international corporations that are working for the World Cup, that they come here and they don't pay any tax. So we have billions of this public money being invested in areas that are not priority. And also we have money that is not coming in. So when people believe that World Cup would be good for the country, they also really believed that it would bring money to the country. And now they are seeing that it's happening the opposite. They are taking public money to their countries. And when we see many protests here are related to public transportation because people have trains that break, that stop for hours, and they have to walk in the tracks because the train broke and they don't have investments. And on the other side, they see the big expensive stadiums. Also, we have 7 of the most expensive stadiums in the world. And we didn't need so many stadiums for the World Cup. And also other stadiums as Maracanã Stadium. It was already a big stadium. It holds the national championship, Brazil's national soccer championship is a very big one. Many people go there every year. So we didn't have to have that much investment. And why do we have that? Because FIFA wants it, because all these corporations want it.
Let's talk of the other side, not of the corporations, but of the social actors that are protesting against the World Cup. Are there new alliances going on? What's the importance of social media? What's the importance of classical political work in organizing these ongoing protests?
Yes, we have new coalitions going on here. As I said, the first one started with traditional housing movements back in 2010, but that movement has grown a lot in the past 2 years. We have some left-wing organizations that were already alerting people of all the negative impacts, but in the process, many other groups started together along. We have a very interesting movement of football fans that are seeing also that, for instance, the tickets for the stadiums are 300 times higher than it was 5 years ago. We have community organizations that used to have only local actions that are now working together in these big coalitions. And we have many student organizations, new people who are fighting and defending human rights. So we have a very different and creative process going on. One thing that is different, what we saw on the streets, is that the traditional movements used to organize demonstrations in a certain way with the leader, with someone conducting it. And now we have demonstrations with many different groups together bringing different issues. And it's a much more diverse and democratic. We see that many small groups that were working these years kind of alone in their space. I mean, women's group, cultural groups from young people who like funk music. That is one that is they are trying to stop this music in favelas with the new pacification policy. All these small groups saw this as an opportunity to go to the streets together.
So before the World Cup started, German and I imagine European media predicted that the protests would stop as soon as the World Cup starts. Is that the case? Is everybody happy and celebrating the World Cup?
No, everything is happening very different than everybody predicted. I also heard last year that 2 months from the game, nobody would want to hear you anymore because they will only be interested in sports. And we have all of these alternative medias, they challenge the mass media. Some things that weren't shown, they start to appear in this media, and then the main media simply can't just pretend it's not happening. And we see very near the games, we had met a lot of debates, public debates, and the media looking for us and wanting to know what's going on in Brazil. People did not leave the streets since June last year. We have different movements. Here in Rio, we've had many worker strikes and many poor communities fighting against police violence. These groups are organized. And after the demonstrations June last year, many people had hope that they also could be in the streets and show what their claims. So, but we have one thing that has been going on since June till now is a very bigger police violence against protesters. And that has made many people, I mean, middle class people mostly, are afraid of going to the streets. They also suffered the police violence. We had a very big march with more than 100,000 people in the streets, and it had a very violent repression. So middle class people that weren't, they didn't know of all these police violence that usually only happens in favelas, in poor areas. They had contact with that for the first time. So they got afraid of going to the streets. But people are still, we have not as big marches and demonstrations, but we have 5,000 people going in the streets for transportation. We have people going on the streets for better wages and work conditions. We've had many strikes from the beginning of the year till now, many of them in the construction sites of World Cup and Olympics. And also many of different groups that fight for rights, for health, education, and all of them are still on the streets and even during the days of the game. Mm-hmm.
I think the countdown for the game is going on. I would like to open the floor in case you have questions. If that's the case, you would have to take the mic. Is there any question? Yes. Well, three questions. We are going to get them together. Yeah, please. Here's a good place because then you can see Giselle. That's the camera. Ah. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Ute. I have a question because in the last few days there were some, I don't know, people posted stuff on Facebook about how kids on the street are shot because of the World Cup. And some people now say that was just because there was this Danish journalist and he published a movie about that, or it was part of his movie. But it's just it's very controversial, and people say, oh, it was just a lie, and I don't know. So do you know something about that? I don't think it happened in Rio, but in Fortaleza, I don't know how to spell that city. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, should we collect the questions? No, let's make it's easier if you go on. Sorry, it's hard to find out how this
okay.
works.
Okay. I don't know of that case in Fortaleza, but the police is really being very violent and repressive. I know a case in São Paulo where they shot people with non-lethal weapons. And yesterday in Rio, we had a police officer shooting with a lethal gun, but he didn't shoot anybody. Nobody was really, really hurt. But many people are being hurt and even killed by non-lethal weapons. We call it non-lethal weapons, but depending on how it is used, it really kills. And we have already a big, more than 10 people killed in protest by non-lethal weapons.
Please. question.
I would like to say hello and thank you so much for putting the dots on the i's, and have a question about, this is election year in Brazil, and we have also lots of different debates and the mass media, of course. And I would like to say, what's the feeling that you get from the communities, their local discussions? How is that going on?
Well, because of the election, we see many people from political parties telling us that we shouldn't be on the streets, because if we do that, we favor right-wing movements because the government now is a left-wing coalition. But we believe that we should go to the streets anytime, and elections should not stop us from denouncing violations of human rights. We see in the communities, many people are more, they have more restrictions to talk to social movements, because everybody that gets in the communities in this time, they have electoral interests, and that's not our case. But since we work with some communities for many years now, we get the trust from these local leaders. We also are questioned about how all this movement is going to influence elections. The only way we want to influence is for the new governments to make commitments to stop evictions and to stop police violence. And we don't want to get directly involved in any political electoral debate right now.
Another question?
I want to come back to the film and what you said before, to the project. First, there was something said about resettlement of the people, and I read or heard something about 14 kilometers away from the origins they were taken. Is this the normal case, or is it the farthest place to go? I heard about that they put them to the northwest of Rio. Is that right? Which is very far there.
Yes, that is true. 40, 60 kilometers. They usually, when they first come to the community saying that people will have to leave, they first offer these apartments, because these are the official housing program, and they need to occupy these apartments. So they first say to the people, this is the only option you have, or you take this house or you won't get anyone, any other. So many people accept this offer. But we saw a case of a community that did not accept that offer, and they fought for other options. By law, they have to have the option of getting money for the house, the market value of the house, for them to be able to buy a house in the same conditions. That never happened in Rio. Most people get very low values, like 20,000, 15,000 reais. That is not enough for any house, not even bare land. And that community that fought, they got an option of new housing very close, about 500 meters from the house. And that community is very happy with the solution. But that was an exception. Most people really go very far or get money that isn't even enough to buy a new house. And they go to a worse situation, and normally to another informal illegal settlement.
Oh, I see. The other question is about public transport. Did I get it right that they promised to build new train lines, or is it just on bus services?
It's just on bus. The World Cup and Olympic project has only bus. There was a project of a train line, and it was a very interesting one. Metropolitan train that would connect other cities that have workers that come to Rio every day, Niterói and other cities from Baixada, but that never happened. And they are now saying, this week we had news that they are going to make one more bus rapid lane to Niterói, but they don't say anything more about the train.
And that could not have to do anything with the games, because everyone knows to plan or build train lines will take years and years. So that should not be promised and should not be believed too. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Obrigado.
So
yes, just one more comment on that. What happened really was the opposite. We had a metro line that had a very interesting project, and exactly they changed it and put bus in place because it would be faster to build for the games.
So thank you very much for your insights. One last question. What are your hopes for the time after the World Cup?
Well, here in Rio, we won't stop because we have Olympic Games in 2016, and we have many impacts of the infrastructure for the Olympic Games that haven't happened yet, and we are also working on that. But for the other cities, the other 11 host cities, people are already getting together and working and thinking about what they are going to do, what this very rich and very important coalition is going to do next. First is that there are still rights that were violated that have to have some compensation. So we are preparing a document just for after World Cup to say all these things, that all these people that have to be compensated for what they lost for the games. And the other thing is that these violations are not only related to mega events, they are also related to other mega projects. And we have many of them going on, many in related to Petróleo, the gas companies here in Brazil. And we want to work also with these communities and organizations that already work with these communities.
So thank you very much. Good luck for the game, much more good luck for your work, and we will certainly try to go on with this conversation on these issues. Thank you to the Bell Stiftung, and here there's a big audience that is clapping the hands.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and we hope you make it in time for the game. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to be here.